WrestleMania XL. We're going to talk a lot about stories getting finished on this one, but I'll tell you what story wasn't finished. The story of the table being strong enough to hold Karrion Kross. Because the table collapsed under his when he laid on. I didn't have anything else for this. I don't know. We're just going to talk about WrestleMania and my Raw reactions. I don't know. Let's just hit play on this bad boy. In the hardest, talk around and disregard it. Sweep you off the ground, show you the hardest. Standing strong and proud, nothing can hide this. Let's get started. What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Apron Bump Podcast. I am your host, the hardest part of the ring, Kyle Bird. How are we doing today, folks? WrestleMania has just unloaded all over all of us. And got a lot of thoughts on it. I got no notes on this one. I got the card pulled up. I'm just going to let my Raw thoughts seep into your pores. Recording this before Raw. Full transparency. So if any major things happened on the Monday Night Raw, they will not be included because I'm not yet a time traveler. But lots happened this weekend. We're going to get all up in its guts. But yeah, like I said, no real format here. Just kind of hanging out, just vibing. This is going to be a big vibes episode here. Nothing too crazy. We're just chilling. We're just hanging out with our wang out. We're just going off of, initial reactions. We're sitting here at around, 12, 13 hours after WrestleMania has concluded. So these are raw dog reactions here. No Trojans, no lube, just plowing it in there. I still feel Cody in my veins. I still feel the adrenaline in my soul. You know what I'm saying? Oh, fuck. How does Rock do that? He just slaps his fucking forearm. He makes it so loud. He does it all the time and it hurts. Holy jeez. I'm a sensitive boy, though. So maybe that's it. But yeah, man. What a fuck it would. Before we get into anything, first of all, make sure you're followed or subscribed or, like the bell, jiggle my balls, like the bell, hit the bell. I don't know what we're doing. Make sure you're subscribed for any future episodes that I record here or just other clips. Listen wherever you listen to podcasts, YouTube, all that stuff. But I'm not here to plug. Just my asshole. But we're here to talk about WrestleMania, the whole weekend. Stacked weekend. Where do we even begin, man? I'll just quick shout outs here because we won't go into super high depth into any of these, but lots of independent wrestling happened over the weekend. Shout out to just the whole WrestleMania weekend as a whole. You know what I mean? All the independents coming to Philly. Ring of Honor had an awesome, or I hear it was a pretty good pay-per-view. Or at the very least, Mark Briscoe ended up walking out as the world champion, which is an amazing moment. I think it was, 11 years to the day where his brother won the world title. So awesome stuff there. I don't know if it's going to get me to watch Ring of Honor. We'll see if maybe they start having their champions on their show, but maybe I'm asking too much. NXT TakeOver in, what do they call it? Stand and Deliver. Blanked on the name there for a second. I did check that out, and that was a very good show. Particularly, I would say if there's one match you need to go back and watch, it is the triple threat match for the North American Championship. Obafemi, Dijak, and Josh Briggs had a killer match. So fucking fun, dude. NXT's their takeovers, their PLEs have been really hitting lately. And definitely worth a watch. It's worth, if you've been out of NXT for a while, it's worth jumping back in, giving it a try. There's still a lot of cringe. There's a lot of not good stuff there, but it's developmental. It's there to serve a purpose. And I think it's, so far, it's been serving it pretty well since their old rebrand from 2.0. So shout out to TakeOver. Trick Williams, Carmella Hayes had a really good main event. Almost kind of... I didn't expect Trick to just win. You know what I mean? It felt a little I don't want to say it was underwhelming because it was a good match. Maybe slightly underwhelming, but it was a good match. Great build up. The tag team match in the opener was awesome. The whole show is actually really worth a watch. There's no real duds on the entire show, so shout out them. But let's get into what everybody's really here to. What I would assume everybody's here to talk about. The whole show called WrestleMania Extra Large, Saturday, Sunday. And a lot of people in the comments talking about the main events. I mean, should we just break it open? Should we just dive dick first into the main event? I mean, full transparency here. So I watched the show Saturday night. I watched it at home with the WAF. Got some Wingstop, you know, so we were able to watch the 6-woman tag. We'll get into that. But then Sunday night went over to a friend's house, a lot of people over there. So it was an action packed weekend. But yeah, I mean, and then, so I watched it obviously Saturday and Sunday. And then this morning I went back and watched some moments just to kind of like be immersed in it, you know, by myself watching it, like hearing some of the stuff that I maybe missed, watching it live, whether it was, you know, people screaming next to me or me being in a coma from eating 20 chicken tenders from Wingstop, you know, whatever the case is, right? Few things I want to just shout out right out the get-go here. The production of this show was incredible. Well, for the most part is. Night two, at least, was particularly. I'll say this. This is just the one negative, I think, from a production standpoint was so night one. You know, judging from the feedback on social media and on Twitter, Instagram, whatever the hell, it seems like night two was absolutely the better night. And I think that's an understatement in just saying that. I think like in the two night era of WrestleMania, so the past what 4 or 5 years, I think this year's there was like the biggest discrepancy or disparity between nights. Generally, like there's always one night that's a little better. But man, this year, night two blew night one's dick and balls out of the water. It was wild. And there was like a couple reasons I think contributed to that. One is the weather. I believe it was a bit colder night one. And I think, and I have a lot of friends that went there and they said that, man, they were just frozen. By the end of the night, they couldn't muster, like, you know, really getting animated with their chants or with their reactions. And you kind of felt that throughout the entire show. Night one felt like a dead crowd. But also you got to consider that it's an open air stadium. The acoustics in that kind of environment are dog shit. Honestly, you'll hear all the legends talk about they hate those big open air because the sound just travels up and out of the stadium. But you also you watch Gunther and Sammy, and you hear the reactions during that match, and then it's like, okay, maybe they were just kind of dead for a lot of the show. But like I said, I think the weather contributed to that. I think night two, people were, one, it was warmer night two, but I think people maybe came more prepared with more layers. It definitely felt louder night two. So also another thing about this, which I haven't really seen anybody mention, and maybe it's just me, it felt like night one was like darker. Like you couldn't see the crowd at all during night one. Like I haven't done a side by side. Maybe it was just me. Maybe it was just the, you know, the sound of the crowd. Maybe made me feel this way, but it felt like the crowd was really dark. Like you couldn't see anybody beyond like the fourth or fifth row. So it felt small. Night one did. Based on the audio and the visual, the show felt small. So it didn't feel as epic. So to me, night one hardly felt like a WrestleMania, barring a few moments here and there. So I think that contributed to it. I mean, none of the matches were really, well, I guess we'll get into it. Well, I have, you know, I have Bleacher Report and have the results here. We'll kind of walk through these nights chronologically. That's probably the best way to do it. But overall, if you want my overall thoughts on this weekend, an incredible WrestleMania. I think night two is among one of the best nights of WrestleMania ever. I don't know if it's better as a whole. I think last year was better. Maybe that's just my bias because I was there live. but it seems like a lot of people online agree. I think from top to bottom, 39 was a bit better. I would say it was a good bit better than 40, but I don't know. I will say though, with WrestleMania being in Philly, I talked about this on a previous live. It's Philly WrestleMania. It's the closest WrestleMania has been to me here in Virginia, like ever. I don't know if it's ever been closer. So I did, because I went last year. I debated on going this year as well. I was like, I don't know if I can justify 2 years in a row. And with WrestleMania, it's like, unless you're shelling out hundreds and thousands of dollars to get like front row seats, it's like you're watching ants. Like, I had decent seats for 39, but it's still like you got to strain to really see. And it's you often spend more time looking at the screen than anything. So it's one of those things I'm glad I did for the experience and the atmosphere. But ultimately, there's something about watching the broadcast and the commentary and the camera work along with everything. Like, it's just, for me, it's a better experience watching from home than it is from a stadium. So, but I say that because I did get a bit of FOMO. A lot of people enjoying all the festivities. It was more so the FOMO was, for me, it was like the Hall of Fame and the WWE World and all the different like independent stuff going on in Philly. Like I said, the atmosphere of WrestleMania weekend's always incredible. So, that being said, I'm glad I didn't have to endure the what was it, like 48 degrees with like a 15 degree wind chill or something like that. Like, it is, I couldn't imagine, but I don't know, man. Should we get into it though? Let's just walk through this. I'm not going to get super in depth. Like I said, I don't really have any notes. We're just kind of giving our reactions. I'm going to walk through these nights and we'll talk about them. So night one started with the Women's World Championship. Rhea Ripley defeated Becky Lynch to retain. Pretty good match. According to commentary, Becky Lynch was dealing with like strep throat and like 102 degree fever, which is nuts. So with that in mind, I don't know how much she had recovered, if she had at all. But that being said, it was a good match, right? It was a very good match. I will say maybe a bit forgettable. Nothing really made me, I don't know, it's nothing about it. I would say it's probably one of Rhea's best defenses. I immediately, the comparisons come to the match with Charlotte last year. Obviously, it's WrestleMania, so that's the natural comparison. And I don't think this match even came close to touching the Charlotte match. But that being said, a very good match. Rhea Ripley holds on to the title, continues her reign, which I'm not surprised at all. This definitely felt like a match to kind of just further elevate Rhea, just another notch on her belt. That's all it was, and on a big stage. So no complaints here. No complaints here. It was a good match. Where does Becky go from here? I see people saying that she's got to sign with AEW. I don't know, man. I really don't think so, but that would be some shit, huh? What will be her name? I guess Rebecca is a real name, right? Rebecca Quinn. I guess that's a pretty good wrestling name. But solid match to open the show. We move on to the six-pack ladder match for the Undisputed Tag Team Championships. Well, now the Tag Team Championships, I guess, are very disputed, huh? I guess that would make them disputed at this point. We got A-Town Down Under won the SmackDown Tag Team Championships, and Awesome Truth won the Raw Championships. So they emphasize that the match will continue until both sets of titles have been pulled down. And you can see, like, just from the very beginning, how each set of titles were like on different sides of the ring. You knew the titles were going to get split up. And I figured that Awesome Truth would win one of the titles. And them being Raw, it would only make sense for them to win the Raw titles. And then that leaves SmackDown. You got to think a SmackDown team's going to win. And although I guess there is a draft coming up. So who knows? But yeah, I mean, it was I can't really think of any moments from this match that left me like, whoa, whoa, what an incredible match. I think Grayson Waller took a powerbomb through a ladder, but I think ladder matches have just been so like overexposed lately. It seems like there's a ladder match every other week, whether it's WWE or AEW, and then you got the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. You got, you know, AEW's got ladder matches every other week. Ladder spots all over the place. Like, I don't know. Nothing about this match really left me. My cockles were not super turgid watching this match, I guess I could say. But I don't know. Awesome Truth. You know, they've been building to this with Truth being bullied by the Judgment Day for months and months. Getting back with his boy Miz to reform Awesome Truth. It was a fun moment. I'll say that. It was, that's all it was, really. I mean, from this match, them grabbing the Raw titles, it was cool. It was a cool moment. Sometimes it's all you need. But we got the titles split up now, and they've been slowly building the tag division in the past couple months with, you know, all the teams in this match, plus teams like that weren't even in this match, like the Creed Brothers or Pretty Deadly or, you know, the LWO, Legado del Fantasma. Like, they got a lot of teams here. And I've always been against, not always, at least the past couple years, I've been against them splitting up the titles just based on the fact that I didn't think there was enough of a division to sustain two brands. But they've clearly been making active, you know, they've been actively trying to build divisions on each brand. So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. See, it'll give teams like, you know, the Street Profits and AOP something to strive for. And I'm optimistic about it. I'm optimistic about it. It's a new era, everybody. The Renaissance era. What do we think about that name, by the way? The Renaissance era. I think it's a bit doofy, but whatever, whatever. As long as the content in the era is good, that's all that matters. That's all that matters, I suppose. But Rey and Andrade defeat Dominic Mysterio and Santos Escobar. This match is pretty good, actually. I really enjoyed this match. Bummed that Dragon Lee wasn't a part of it, but I'm not going to be sad that Andrade subbed for him, because I like me some delicious, delicious Andrade Cien Almas. Yeah, I mean, the Dom and Ray thing seemed very, it seemed like it was hot-shotted. I don't know. I would have preferred to see like Ray and the LWO versus Santos and his faction. Like, I don't know. It seemed like this could have been more of a, like this felt like this was a tag match. I feel like this could have been more of like a ground war, like a war. Lots of people on this side, lots of people on this side. Maybe they didn't want to be too duplicative of the Bob Prophets and the Final Testament, but that was on a different night, so I don't know. But it was a good match regardless, so no complaints here. Rey and Andrade get the win. What's up, Matt? What's up, buddy? Yeah, how did this match even end? Like I said, I have no notes. It was all a blur. I think I was like 15 chicken tenders in at this point. I was in a bit of a comatose state. Did anybody who I feel like somebody interfered in this match, didn't it? Am I wrong? Did I guess it was just the LWO and the it was like weird because like Angel, Humberto, Cruz del Toro, Joaquin Wilde, they all came out in their ring gear, but none of them were in the match. You got Angel in his stupid little tights. But they obviously got physical at some point. Joaquin had that awesome, he's been doing it on NXT, but where they like slingshot him like 50 feet into the aisleway. And so that was some cool stuff. So it ended up coming, like becoming a brawl, like a war type of thing. So ultimately I was happy with it. Can I say something? Zelina Vega. Look, I like Zelina Vega, right? She's a beautiful woman. She's a great talent. She's a great talker. These outfits that Zelina's wearing, like, can we stop? Like, what are we doing? You look silly. You look like a goober. She's just too much going on. The cosplay stuff. It's like she's wearing like the ears and the headphones. Like enough. Fucking enough. My wife was next to me watching this and she was like, what the fuck is she wearing? But I don't know. But we move on to brother versus brother. Only the third brother versus brother match, allegedly. In WrestleMania history, we got Jey Uso defeating Jimmy Uso. This is a very it's a very controversial match. What are my thoughts in this match? I enjoyed it. Was it a good match? Look, who am I to say, right? I think it's all subjective. I don't think good matches or bad matches exist. I think it's all subjective. I think it's all in the eye of the beholder. This match was, it felt like it was intentionally absurd, this match. We kind of knew exactly. It was perfect for Jimmy and Jey. What do you guys expect? They're going to do like a bunch of chain wrestling. They're going to do break out a new repertoire of moves. No, they're going to super kick each other until one guy doesn't get up. That's all this match had to be. That's what this match was. And I think it was pretty good for what it was. There's going to be a lot of melodrama. There's going to be a lot of dialogue within the match. This is all the bloodline. Like, this is what it is. Right. And I think that while it wasn't like a match of the night or anything, I thought like for where it was in the card and where it sat within the overall bloodline storyline, especially with how they followed it up on night two, I thought this was good. I had fun with it. It was silly. Like I said, it was absurd. Like when they're just trading super kicks, like, you know, like the yeet, no yeet. You know how traditionally it's like, yay, boo, like that whole like back and forth, but they're doing with super kicks. That's what the Usos are. It wraps it up in a nice little bow. And ultimately they get their moment. They get to say that they had a match with each other at WrestleMania. It was cool. So I liked it. A lot of people didn't like it. Some people are saying it's like the worst match and enough. It wasn't that bad. All right. At the very least, it was kind of whatever, you know. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it for what it was. But after that, we get Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair, and Naomi defeating Damage Control, Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. Not a lot to this match, but that's kind of what it, you know. Like, I just recently watched WrestleMania 8, where they had, I think it was an 8-man tag or a 10-man tag, whatever it was. It was like Jim Duggan and Repo Man. And it was like, you throw a lot of characters in there. You don't do too much with it. You give the baby faces all of their spotlight. The crowd's eating it up. It was a very digestible match is what I'll say. Like, this is clearly a spotlight for Jade Cargill, who's making her first like proper match debut. And then obviously the pairing with Bianca and Naomi. It's a great moment. Seeing those three out there, like, we've clearly entered a new era here. So it was a very special moment, and Jade got her time to shine, as well as Bianca and Naomi. Damage Control do what they do, the dastardly heels that they are, and, you know, just the gang mentality, but it couldn't overcome the incredible athleticism and strength on the other side. So that's what this match was, and everybody looked great. It wasn't too long. I liked it. Yeah, exactly. The entrances were great, and that's kind of what this match kind of hinged on, honestly. So no complaints there. But bam, we move on to the main event, or not the main event, the match of the night is what I meant to say. It might as well have been the main event. The Intercontinental Championship, Sami Zayn defeats Gunther to become the new Intercontinental Champion. What do we think about that, gang? What do we think about that? I have mixed feelings on this, right? Because look, Sami Zayn's incredible. He's incredible. He's one of the best of all time. No one is going to complain. At least I'm not going to say no one's going to complain, because there's always somebody that's going to complain. I'm not going to complain about Sami Zayn going in there and being the one to dethrone Gunther. I think it was, what, 666 days, which is fucking metal as shit. I do. There is a part of me that wishes this was Chad Gable still going. I thought this match. Here's what I thought this match was going to be. I thought Gunther was going to brutalize Sami Zayn and leave him in a pile of his own blood and Canadian bacon. I thought that's what this match was going to be. And they were kind of almost there, right? That's kind of what it was becoming. I think Gunther hit him with like two or three power bombs and like a couple splashes from the top rope and was choking him out and chopping him and chopping him and kicking him, brutalizing the poor boy. But then, you know, Sammy, he does his Rocky deal. He's smacking, oh man, the way he's smacking the mat. He's like making himself have a seizure to get up. Like, he's just the fire in Sami Zayn, man. That's why he's one of the best. He has the best fire out there, I think. Hulks up, Huluva kick, brain buster, breaking out the top rope brain buster from the El Generico days, which I'm sure he's done it in WWE. I can't really remember. I think he's done it to Kevin Owens in one of their matches, and I can't, none really pop out to me other than that. But yeah, so that shows like what it takes to take down the Ring General. And then, you know, follows it up with a Huluva kick to the back of the head. And that's what takes down Gunther. I mean, match of the night by a country mile. Like, nothing even comes close. Maybe the main event comes a little close just based on the ridiculousness of it. But from a pure wrestling standpoint, probably the match of the weekend. Incredible moment for Sammy. You know, they've been slowly, people have been saying that he was just hot-shotted into this match, but he wasn't. On Raw for months, they've been doing, you know, not the vignettes, but just like the backstage interviews with Sammy and Jackie Redman. Sammy's basically losing faith in himself. He thinks the crowd's losing faith in him. He doesn't know where he belongs. He doesn't know where his place is. And it's been a gradual building of Sammy for basically since late last year, early this year, finds his way into the Intercontinental title match and beats Gunther. You know, almost been building to this almost, you could say, since last year, you know, coming short against Roman. And he's built himself back up to become the IC champion. But like I said, there's a big part of me that wishes it was Chad. I still do. Ultimately, I do wish it was Chad Gable. I think the story they were building with, you know, Gunther taking out Chad in front of his family, how Chad beat Gunther, and like it was a 5-minute challenge thing on Raw that they did. Like, nobody had come as close to beating Gunther as Chad did. And I think a WrestleMania moment for him would have been the icing on the cake. Strawberry on the icing, whatever the fucking saying is. But Chad is still very much in the picture. Obviously, he's been the who was Rocky's coach? Fuck, people are gonna get mad at me for forgetting. He's been Sammy's coach during this whole thing. He's been very present on screen, and I think Chad, was it on this show or maybe like the Raw leading up to it, he was like, "You owe me that favor." Which you got to figure that it's going to be Sammy defending against Chad at some point, maybe Backlash, maybe just on Raw. Who knows? So that is seemingly upcoming on the horizon. Chad Gable versus Sami Zayn, which, gosh darn, pal. I mean, we got a little taste of it in the gauntlet match. And so we know what they're capable of. So giving them a proper spotlight on maybe a pay-per-view, proper one-on-one match, I mean, it's gonna be barners. It's gonna be a barn burner. I didn't know whether to say barn burner or banger, so I just said them both at the same time. It's gonna be barners, everybody. But so yeah, but Sammy Gunther, I mean, I would say it almost saved night one, because been, it was, you know, I've been here saying that I've enjoyed the matches, but there was just a bit of seasoning that it didn't have the WrestleMania kind of feel to it leading up to it. And I mentioned earlier how, like, the lighting, the audio, all of this stuff, the crowd being cold, a lot of things contributed to that. But regardless, we work our way to the main event of night one. The Rock and Roman Reigns defeat Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins to establish bloodline rules for night two. The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, and Roman Reigns. How delicious did these fellows look out there? Good googly moogly. Chiseled out of granite. Roman was starting to get a bit dad bod. Not, he wasn't dad bod, but you could see him like regressing a little bit. But then, oh, he said, no. Let me right quick get in the best shape of my life real quick. So he looked amazing. So did The Rock, obviously. He always does. I'm really just creaming over these guys, aren't I? Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins are out there. Seth in his stupid hat on his shoulder or whatever the hell that was. And Cody, obviously, doing his Cody thing. This tag team main event night one. I mean, another match that's kind of polarizing, I would say, perhaps. Would that be the word for it? It was an Attitude Era main event. It was crowd brawling. It was brawling in the aisleway. It was weapons. It was... Were there run-ins? I guess there weren't really any run-ins from what I remember. Like I said, a lot of this was a blur, but obviously you have like The Rock, because this match was not bloodline rules, but The Rock, he's like pointing at the ref. He says, you count me out. You're fired, motherfucker. Like, God damn, Rock. Enough. What is there to say about this match? I predicted that Rock and Roman were going to win. It just made sense, you know, to further build the adversity for Cody going into night two. But The Rock looked good, man, for the most part. Maybe a little shaky at the beginning, but I think as the match progressed, you saw that old Rock come out. The bumping and the selling from Rock was on top form in this match. And ultimately, The Rock pins Cody Rhodes with the Rock Bottom and the People's Elbow, all while talking that shit to Mama Rhodes. Man, oh man. It was, like I said, it was a very polarizing match. A lot of weapons, a lot of, you know, kendo sticks and belts and chairs and referee tomfoolery. It was what it was, man. It did feel like a main event. This is the one match where it's like it started to feel like WrestleMania a little bit, but it definitely felt like the preview to night two almost. That, like, overall, I feel like night one just felt like the night two pre-show almost. You know what I'm saying? And you know, historically, night ones have always been better. I think so, right? For the most part. But yeah, night one was a little lackluster, but there was some good stuff within there. But let's scurry on to night two, shall we? World Heavyweight Champion Drew McIntyre. Well, he was the World Heavyweight Champion. The World Heavyweight title match. Drew McIntyre defeats Seth freaking Rollins to win the championship. Finally wins the world title in front of fans. This is an awesome match. It was very much a shootout. It was a lot of finisher attempts, finisher counters, even the Claymore right out the gate. Like, it was just, they were throwing bombs at each other. But I really enjoyed this match. It really hit a good gear throughout the entire thing. There weren't any slow moments. Drew fucking dominating Seth in the beginning, going over to, I don't know if it's his wife or his girlfriend or what it is, but. And then tweeting bored at work LOL as he's within the match was just incredible. But that's not really the story here, is it? Drew defeats Seth with like five claymores, whatever it was, pins him in the middle of the ring. And Seth, you know, he's been defending this title for about a year now, right? About that. And he's had the back injuries, he's had the knee injuries, and it all has just, it was, this was the straw that broke the camel's back, I guess. So Drew wins and then goes over to old CM Phil on commentary, talking shit, puts his claymore right in Punk's face, tells him to suck this sword. Punk trips him up, beats him, hits him with his arm, whatever you call it, the brace. And then the old Judgment Day music hits. Fucking Damian Priest comes out, cashes in Money in the Bank. He fucking did it, man. Under the bisexual Undertaker hits South of Heaven and becomes the new World Heavyweight Champion. Whew. Man. First of all, I gotta shout out Gigi Dolan. First of all, I don't know if this is, I've never seen this before. I don't know if she made this up or if whatever. She called Damian Priest the Cuntertaker, which is just phenomenal. That's all he's gonna be for the rest of his tenure to me, because that's what he is. He served cunt in this match. That's for damn sure. Nobody can take that away from him. And yeah, what do we think about that, man? Damian Priest, world champion. I'm all about it. I don't foresee him having a long run with it. But I mean, it poses a lot of questions. Because, you know, Drew wins the title and everybody's like, okay, he wins in front of fans for the first time in his career. Drew has been red hot, arguably one of the hottest acts, at least one of the hottest heels going at this point in time in WWE. So it's like, okay, this makes sense. We got a new, because, you know, spoiler alert, no more Roman as champion. So now we got a new heel, a new final boss at the top of the mountain. Drew McIntyre doing the best work of his career, and then Damian Priest comes out and takes it away from him 5 minutes later. A lot of rumors that Drew has not re-signed with WWE. Could we see a Drew Galloway in AEW? It's a good question. It's a good question. I don't think so. I think Drew has been put in a spot where I don't think he would supersede in AEW. Especially he's embroiled in a feud with CM Punk at this point, which that's going to give you more notoriety than anything. So I think there's still a lot of story with Drew and Punk to tell, which is where I think we go after this. I mean, Punk took his brace off during this whole thing. So I guess, is he cleared? He's got to be at least close to cleared. So is that a Backlash match? Do we get Punk and Drew at Backlash? Possibly, right? Possibly. I mean, that's a marquee match. That's a main event anywhere in the world. So I'm all about it. But where does that leave Damian Priest? Where does that leave the world title? Does it become a triple threat match for the world title? Is it Damian, Punk, and Drew? I don't know. A lot of questions, but that's where full transparency, I'm recording this before the Raw after WrestleMania, so I'm sure that a lot of that's going to get explained on Raw. I mean, who else? I mean, like I said, I can't even begin to wrap my head around, you know, Damian, who he's going to defend against. Will he lose it? How are they going to continue? Are they going to continue to just build Damian as a legit champion, or is he just going to be a transitional champion? It's creating questions. It's creating intrigue, and that's what it's all about. That's what episodic TV is all about. So all in all, I loved it. I think how this all played out between the match itself, the post-match stuff with Drew and Punk, the cash-in, and then that shot. I talked about how I love the camera work earlier. The shot of a disheveled Drew in the ring with Punk in the background, sitting crisscross applesauce on the announce table. You know, mock doing the clap, the mocking clap. Good job, Drew. Good title reign. It was just chef's kiss, this whole thing. And yeah, big fan of it. Big fan of it. But we'll see. We'll see what comes out of this. A lot of ways they can go with it. So, but after that, we got the Philadelphia Street Fight with special guest referee Bubba Ray Dudley. I figured they had to have some ECW representation on this show. I'm honestly surprised that there wasn't more. But Bubba Ray, special guest ref, and, you know, it's fine. He didn't have much of a active role in this, other than, you know, Karrion Kross shoving him at the end and then them pulling out the tables. They did the Wuzza headbutts. So that was fun. Cool moment there. That's really what this match was here to have, you know, some cool moments like that, some fun table spots. The build to this has felt, I don't want to say it's felt like an afterthought, because they have been building to this for a while, but it reeks of undercard, like whatever, you know what I mean? It's like, we don't have anything else for these guys. Let's have some faction warfare. The Final Testament, man, like Triple H is hell bent on making Karrion Kross a success. It's just not happening, man. The bell has to ring at some point. And while Karrion's presentation has always been on point, and even the with, you know, the Final Testament with AOP, with Paul Ellering, with Scarlett, like, the presentation's not bad. It's just the bell rings, and then Karrion proceeds to be one of the softest wrestlers out there. Like, he's this big, bad dude. He's a legit fighter. You see these pictures of him with, you know, doing the jujitsu and all that. Like, but then he gets in the ring and he's throwing this weak ass elbow. Will Ospreay's Hidden Blade, right? Until Will Ospreay retires, everybody in the wrestling world should just give up on having elbows as a finisher, because nobody comes close. And Karrion's, what does he call it? The cross hammer. It's one of the worst finishes in wrestling. He's just not exciting at all in the ring. His presentation doesn't translate to the in-ring, basically, is what I'm saying. Bobby and the Street Profits. Bobby is honestly kind of in a similar realm in my mind, where he's like this big, bad dude, but he doesn't act like it. I hate smiley Bobby Lashley. Lashley was at his peak when he was mean mugging. He was vascular. He was no bullshit. He didn't talk. He didn't do the dun dun with his theme song. Cut all that shit out. Get me Big Bad Bob or get him out of here. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Street Profits, like, I appreciate the attempt with him and the Profits, but the Profits haven't evolved at all as a tag team either. They kind of half-ass tried to for a little bit. They were like kind of trying to be heels, but nobody wanted to boo them. So it's been a little flip-floppy, and I think that's kind of led to all of this feeling very underwhelming. But so I wasn't, you know, the match was fine. You know, I didn't hate the match. It was silly. Like, the table broke under Karrion Kross's weight and they had to get another table. It was funny. It was a fun moment. And the frog splash through the table for the win, and the Street Bob Fitz get the win. So it is what it is. Probably talk too much about that. LA Knight beats AJ Styles in a match that I think it exceeded my expectations. I figured they were going to have a good match. A lot of people going into this show thought these guys were going to have a dud of a match, and I don't know why. Like, why would you bet against AJ Styles? Like, even at this point, right? I don't know how old he is. What is it, like 40? How old is AJ Styles? I'm going to guess 44. He is 46. Jeez, he's almost fucking 50, dude. And he's still performing at this level. Obviously, he's not, you know, TNA AJ. He's not even like New Japan AJ, but he's still AJ fucking Styles. One of the best in-ring wrestlers of all time. Of all time. going against LA Knight, who is also very underrated in his own right. It was a good match. It was very physical. It was very like the outside stuff, you know, pulling the mat up, backdrop on the concrete floor or whatever that was. It was just a solid one-on-one match. You know, I thought both guys looked good. LA Knight got his moment on WrestleMania, got a big win. That's really all this was here for. If the build did feel like, this did feel like the miscellaneous match where it's like, okay, we need LA Knight on the card, but we don't really have a spot for him. Oh, hey, AJ's over there. Let's bring you in. Let's have a match. So, but that being said, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a very good match. LA Knight continues to be heated up. So that's a guy that could be in any title picture at any point in time. He can, that's a guy that can get hot real quick, even though he's already hot, but you can really slot him in anywhere. Still over as hell. People are trying. They're really trying to like claim that LA Knight's losing steam, but that's just hater shit. Like he's not, he's as over as he's ever been. So good stuff there. Shout out to AJ's new theme song, by the way. Personally, I've never been crazy about We Don't Want None. I don't know. It just never felt like a good wrestling theme song to me. This one here, I thought is an improvement. I thought this was a vast improvement from his last theme song. And I thought it fit his new presentation swimmingly. So it was good stuff. Good stuff. Triple threat match for the United States Championship. Logan Paul defeats Randy Orton and Kevin Owens to retain the title. Another really good match. I mean, night two was just boom, boom, boom. Not a bad match of the bunch. Randy and Kevin Owens are clearly like just having a good time out there. Kevin comes out in the golf cart, which I don't know. Is this a callback to him getting run over by the golf cart? I guess that's what the homage was. And then he carried Randy to the ring. It was very silly. Randy's just in this point in his career where he's just having fun. He's just being silly and he's having a great time out there. And it's translating to the viewer because I'm having fun watching him. So. And Logan Paul continues to just be annoyingly good at what he does. Just an incredible heel. Picks the bones in this match swimmingly. Just the story they're telling with, you know, them teaming on Logan in the beginning and progressing into Orton and Kevin fighting each other, and then Logan taking advantage of this. The various, like, Logan did the, well, he did like a swanton, then rolled through into a frog splash on the other guy. Like, this match was very fun. There were several moments where I thought Orton or KO might have won it, but ultimately Logan wins and continues his reign. So I guess he's going to continue to be a focal point on TV, which I'm not mad about at all. He's been killing it. I think the U.S. title division is a good slot for Logan, allows him to carry that title and bring it to wherever all the boxing matches, the UFC matches, on his podcast, whatever the hell. So it's a win-win for everybody as far as I'm concerned. We got, what's after that? Oh, the WWE Women's Championship. Bayley defeats Io Sky to win the WWE Women's Championship. What a fucking awesome match this was, dude. Holy guacamole. I would venture to guess if you like polled people, like which match would be better, Rhea Becky or Bayley Io? I would say most people would probably say Becky Rhea, just based off of last year's, you know, Charlotte Rhea match. But Bayley and Io fucking, they didn't steal the show. Obviously, the main event is what people are going to remember. But goddamn, I mean, this might be of the entire weekend. I don't know if I'll put this over Sammy and Gunther, but this is a strong number three for the WrestleMania weekend, I think. I mean, the presentation of Bayley and Io just from the entrances were fantastic. Bayley looked really good in this match. I've been kind of down on Bayley for the past couple of years. I feel like she's slowed down a little bit. But she came with it in this match, dude. This was very reminiscent of the takeover match with Sasha Banks. I mean, this was just back and forth. This match was Io works the leg of Bayley. This there were a lot of matches, and that could be one critique. There were a lot of matches, even just like on this night two, where there was a lot of like leg work. There was a lot of people selling the leg injuries, things like that. I don't think anybody sold it as well as Bayley did in this match, though. Just supreme selling from Bayley throughout this entire thing. Io looked like a star. Like, watching Io Sky, who at one point kind of felt like an afterthought in NXT, she comes out in the co-main event of WrestleMania Night 2 as the champion, with the music, with the entrance, with the awesome Titantron. Like, all of this, it just felt like an awesome moment for both ladies here. And they killed it, man. They killed it. I was a big fan of this match. And Bayley gets her WrestleMania moment. I mean, what more can you say? What more can you ask for? It was a happy ending to the damage control arc for Bayley. She started this faction. They turned on her, and it became its own entity, and in its own, it grew beyond what she wanted it to be. But Bayley gets revenge on Io for turning on her. Like, it's just the build, the execution of the match. It was just perfect. It was perfect, I thought. But that brings us to the main event. Cody Rhodes defeats Roman Reigns. Cody Rhodes. Let me say that one more again. Cody Rhodes finishes the fucking story by defeating Roman Reigns to become the new WWE champion. Are we dropping the Universal, is my question. Samantha Irvin announced him as the new WWE champion. That could have just been a misspeaking or what, but I would like to think you might as well just drop the Universal, because we got the world title on one brand and we got the WWE. Let's just bring it back to what worked in the past. You know what I'm saying? Universal's always been kind of a dopey moniker anyways. So, speaking of Samantha Irvin, quick shout out to her. I mean, just the, some people don't like how animated, emotional she is, and I get it to an extent, but just her general announcing is just, no one's been better. Like, I love Fink, right? Fink's always been my goat, but Samantha Irvin is just the guttural emotion that you feel, like, from her diaphragm when she announces. It's better than anybody in the history of ring announcing. Incredible. Incredible. Better than Fink. Better than Michael Buffer, Bruce Buffer. I mean, Bruce Buffer is actually pretty good too, but I don't know. Big fan of her work is what I'm trying to say here, Samantha Irvin, and the emotion. While some people didn't like her emotion at the finish of it, I thought it just added to the atmosphere. It added to the, I keep saying emotion, but it added to the emotion of the finish to this match. I thought it was a great icing on top. I feel like I've said that too many times in this episode, but yeah, shout out to her. Just want to give a quick shout out to her. But the match itself, man, Roman and Cody, Bloodline rules. I'll tell you this. This match didn't go exactly as I thought it would. I thought it was going to be run-ins right out the gate. I thought this match was going to start, and then you were just going to have a sea of Samoans just closing in on the middle of the ring. I thought it was going to be just, you know, Rock, Solo, Jimmy, Jacob Fatu, Zilla Fatu, Ava, Nia Jax, Tama Tonga, Tonga Loa. I thought everybody was going to get in there. Haku, Rikishi. I thought it was just going to be everybody kind of just closing in on Cody. I thought it was going to be a bloody beatdown of Cody. And then I thought people were going to save him. But it ended up just being a really fucking good wrestling match for the first, 20 minutes or so? I think it was a good, 20 minutes before any run-ins happened, which was surprising. But like I said, it was just a really, maybe arguably, Roman's best performance from a pure wrestling perspective during this reign. Cody and Roman just have awesome chemistry. Their match last year was incredible. Match of the year, as far as I'm concerned. And this one is very good too. And then obviously the run and start, you have Cody hits the two crossroads and then gets the super kick from Jimmy. Then Jay comes out and spears Jimmy off the ramp, which was wild. Wild. I did not expect that at all. I see that and I'm like, oh, they're just plummeting to their death, huh? but they go through the tables. Solo comes out eventually, and then John Cena comes out. Obviously playing back to the what was it, Crown Jewel? Is that the pay-per-view where they had the match? Cena and Solo. And so Cena gets his revenge on Solo, puts him through an announce table. The Rock comes out. We get a Rock and Cena stare down thrice in a lifetime. Come on now. Come on now. I mean, it's at this point when it's just like, I'm on my feet. I'm slapping the people next to me. I'm kissing my wife. I'm holding my cats. I'm jiggling my balls. It's just like, dude, slapping that forearm. This whole thing. Cena, Rock. Rock takes out Cena. Dong. Undertaker. What? Everybody's expecting Stone Cold, but I'll take the Undertaker. I do think Stone Cold may have overshadowed the moment to come afterwards. So I'm not mad at it. You know, Stone Cold's just chilling on his ranch with his cat poncho. I get it. I get it, right? Undertaker comes out from under the ring, chokeslams Rock, skedaddles, seemingly kidnaps Rock. I think he took Rock to hell with him, you know, to under the ring. But then that just leaves. Oh, by the way, I didn't even bring up the Shield music, which I think everybody and their mother expected Dean Ambrose to come out. But no, it's just Seth. It gets absolutely wrecked immediately with a Superman punch, which was hilarious. And then in the moment, I'm like, what? Why'd they even bother with that? But then it played out. The match keeps going on. It's just Cody Roman. There's a chair in the ring. And this is another point where the camera work was just perfect. Cody's down. Roman's up. Roman grabs the chair. The camera is focused on Roman and Cody. Seth is still in the ring, but the camera is not showing Seth. Roman picks up this chair. The camera slowly pans over to Seth as Roman is looking at him. The camera pans like almost like as Roman is looking at him, like in the same like tempo. Roman follows it up. He's still not over the Shield. He's still not over the breakup. He takes this opportunity. Seth won by DQ at Royal Rumble a few years ago. Seth turned on him to exit the Shield. Roman has still not gotten over this. Takes this moment to not hit Cody, but to hit Seth instead. And this is what leads to his downfall. Three crossroads. One, two, three. Boom. Finishing that story, baby. Just, I mean, I said this earlier. I watched this again this morning, and there's like a, it was like, sometimes you watch wrestling and you feel goosebumps. This is one of those moments where I literally like felt my veins pulsating. Like it was just like, if you don't feel anything watching this, I think you're just actively trying not to feel anything. I think you're just, you don't want it to be good, but you can't deny what it is. An incredible build. People were mad last year when Cody didn't win. I came up here after that show. I told everybody it's going to build to a better moment next year. And by golly, it did. They have the WrestleMania 10 style celebration with all the baby faces coming out, picking them up on their shoulders. I mean, dude, like, what more can you say about this? I mean, Cody hits the two crossroads. Every time he's hit two crossroads against Roman, there's been some sort of interference. A solo thumb, a Jimmy foot. But he hits the two crossroads, and then you see nobody around. It's just him and Roman. You know he's got him. Just that build up to that final crossroads, and then the pit. I mean, whew. Such great shit, man. Such great shit. Michael Cole on commentary is getting legit emotional. It's just like, this is what wrestling's all about, man. It's what wrestling's all about. A great build, a great payoff, a legit feel-good moment, and Mama Rhodes gets in there. Cody hands the title to her like he said he would. Brandy's in there. I think Negative One is in there. Some more of Cody's family. And that's how we, that's just, there's no more shenanigans. I mean, he shakes Seth's hand. And again, more camera work where it's like Cody's in the ring and then the camera slowly pans over to Seth, who's on the outside. They shake hands, but you know they're going to come to a head at some point because Seth sacrificed everything to help Cody take down the bloodline. So lots of stories interwebbed throughout all of this stuff, which again, it just leaves more intrigue to see what is going to happen next. So yeah, man. I mean, that's how the show closes, the pyro, and it's just a happy ending. And sometimes you don't get happy endings. WrestleMania 39 showed that, which makes these happy endings feel more meaningful when you don't know if it's going to happen. Because if every WrestleMania just ends up with the babyface winning, like it's just a foregone conclusion every year. So you need those WrestleMania 39s where you don't get that finish that you want, so that these finishes here mean something. So I loved it. Match was phenomenal. I mean, I don't know if anything's going to top that this year, but we're still, you know, in the first third. So who's to say? Who's to say? But I think that about does it, man. I just wanted to come up here. I even went longer than I thought I might, but I just want to give a quick reaction to WrestleMania. Still very raw, still very fresh in my mind. Like I said, this is before Raw even's happening. I'm going to try to have this episode up by Monday afternoon, possibly. So that's what I mean. Is it among other WrestleManias, where does it fall? It's tough to how do you compare two night WrestleManias against one night WrestleManias? It's always a weird thing, but I think night two of WrestleMania 40, I'll put it top, maybe top five, possibly. I mean, 17 still number one. I think WrestleMania 39 night one is up there. Even night two is in the conversation. WrestleMania 38 night one. WrestleMania 19, WrestleMania 18. Like there's a lot of good WrestleManias out there, but this is definitely top 10, maybe top five is what I'll say. Is what I'll say for now. I don't want to let recency bias cloud my judgment too much. But it was just a fun, it's what wrestling is all about, is what I'll say. You got your Sammy Gunther work rate match on night one, and then you got all the tomfoolery in the main event of night two, and then you got some good stuff in between. So it was just a collectively just a great night, great weekend of wrestling. And this isn't even talking about, you know, the NXTs, the Ring of Honors, the other indies happening in Philly. I think Stardom had a show. Like there's a lot of great stuff in wrestling happening. But yeah, so that's where I'm at. And I think that's where I'll love you. And that's where I'll leave you. Appreciate you guys listening. If you did tune in live, I'll be posting this up, the full episode, on Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen, as well as YouTube. And yeah, that's about all I got for you guys. Love you. Mwah. I'm hard.
Yeah. It's the hardest. Talk around and disregard it. Trip you off the ground, show you the hardest. Standing strong and proud, nothing I guess. Let's get it started. It's the hardest. Talk around and disregard it. Trip you off the ground, show you the hardest. Standing strong and proud, nothing I guess. Let's get it started.